As the title states, what we're interested in is peripheral axon territory selection during development and repair of the nervous system. So by introduction, this is a slide of a drawing by probably the father of neuroscience, this turn of the century and 19th century scientist, Santiago Ramon y Cajal. And what the slide is meant to illustrate is that many different neurons in the nervous system have very different shapes. So this has been an outstanding question for over 100 years. And it's what we study in my lab using what we think is a simple model system that allows us to get at this question both at the cellular and molecular level. And the system we use are zebrafish embryos. And the particular cell type we study are called trigeminal sensory neurons. Okay, so what you're looking at here is a dorsal view of an embryo. And each of these clusters of cells are clusters of trigeminal neurons. And here there are central projections going into their brain. And what you're seeing growing out here are their peripheral projections as they approach the midline, so the middle of the head here. The one observation that we made early on is that when two growth cones meet, or when a growth cone meets another axon shaft, and here the movie starts again, there seem to be repulsive interactions between them. So this was a novel observation, and when we made it, it led us to form the hypothesis that perhaps these repulsive interactions are important in determining the extent of axon arborization. So if this was the case, if repellents confine axon arbors, then the prediction is in the absence of competition, axons would overgrow and they'd become too big. Okay? So if you were to remove this green cell, this red cell would overgrow and cross into the other side.
What is a hypothesis? Let's define that, because that's sort of the key aspect of scientific research. Okay, so it's a testable question that you're posing, right? Key point here, it has to be testable. So when you make a hypothesis, and this is true of any of you when you get involved in your research, is it has to be testable. What question can you pose from this movie right here? Because now you made the observation, neurons don't grow past the midline. What hypothesis would you come up with? I mean, Dr. Sagasti came up with one. What did he propose? There was a repulsive force, and he actually proposed that who had that repulsive force? The axons from, right? So he basically proposed that the axons from the other side had a repulsive force. That was what he proposed. He said these neurons, let's say these ones right here on the left side, can't cross over to the right side because the right side neurons are stopping them somehow. That's what he proposed. Okay? Can you test that hypothesis? I mean, is that question testable? Let's say your hypothesis is wrong. What would you do if you were in your lab? Let's say that you make a hypothesis. You say it's the other neurons that are blocking the growth. You test it and you realize, no, the other neurons have nothing to do. What would you do? You would do what? Exactly. So you basically revise your hypothesis, and it's okay as a scientist to say, I was wrong. I'm going to make up a second hypothesis, and it's okay to revise it. You go back and you say, my first hypothesis was totally wrong. Let me make a second hypothesis. So now let me ask you, Dr. Sagasti did not mention any other possibilities. What is another possibility that would explain this growth pattern right here? Neurons stop other neurons from growing. That was one possibility. And it kind of shows you in the movie that whenever the axons kind of hit another axon, they stop. So it makes sense. It's possible. But what's the other possibility? What else could stop these neurons from growing right there? You see, because you haven't. Exactly, right? I mean, you could also imagine. In other words, other cells that happen to be in the midline . That's something that's quite possible. So after that, after you figured it out, after you say, all my experiments suggest one single answer, then you can propose a theory, and then you can say, what's happening here is A, B, C, D, E, F in this order. All right? And this is basically the life of a scientist in a nutshell. That's exactly what you guys are going to be doing once you start, when you join your labs, and I hope you all join a research lab eventually, so you can actually get to test these hypotheses on your own and see how exciting it is to be the first person on the planet to make these observations.